Coming up next, we're shining the writer spotlight on a longtime friend of mine, Beth Rolstead. Beth and I have shared countless miles together over the years, including riding across Iowa during RAGBRAI. She's been a passionate advocate for cycling, community, and helping people connect through the outdoors. She is also the leader of our new Wednesday evening women's ride at the Buffalo Lodge Bicycle Resort. In her full-time work, she serves as the executive director of Homeward Pikes Peak, which gives her a unique perspective on issues that affect all of us who enjoy our city's trails and public spaces. Find out more about the new women's ride, cycling in Colorado Springs, homelessness and trail safety, and what we can all do to make our city an even better place to ride.
You're listening to Studio 809 Podcasts. This is what community sounds like.
Welcome and roll on into the Pedal the Springs podcast, where we banter about all things biking in Colorado Springs and the Pikes Peak region. I'm your host, Tori Giffen, self-appointed ambassador for cycling in the Springs and owner of the Buffalo Lodge Bicycle Resort. And what I don't know about biking in this area, my friends do. And here are today's guests. Welcome to my longtime biking buddy, Beth Rolstead. Welcome, Beth.
Hello. I'm happy to be here.
I'm so glad to have you here. I know that for you, whether you're out riding a bike or you're in your business or out in the community, that you are just always spreading the message of cycling and what a great city that Colorado Springs is to live in, and also the message of homelessness. I'm curious to know a little bit more about how you became a cyclist and your cycling journey.
Oh, gosh. Thanks. I was thinking about that, and one of my earliest memories as a kid is having a pink bike that had that butterfly handlebars and the banana seat, and having the freedom to ride around my neighborhood and to friends' houses and to the local park that was over a mile away. And I think that's when I developed the love of bicycling as a form of transportation, but also recreation and just something that offers me pure joy. And then there was a long break, I would say, of bicycling until about 2006, after I had my second child. And I had a bicycle. I didn't use it very much, but I decided to do a triathlon to get back in shape. And we knew each other.
Yes, I remember your tri days.
Yeah, and I was in your spin classes. And then I had a bicycle. And I was like, I just need to add swimming. And I took a swim class. But it was getting back on the bike that was so much fun. And I love that bicycles take you to places, longer distances that you can see and enjoy. It's so much faster than running. And I would say I've been really active cycling in this community now for 20 years. And a lot of those miles is with you, actually.
I know. You're one of my favorite biking buddies for sure. We've ridden across the state of Iowa together.
We have.
You get me up earlier than most people.
I am a morning person. And yes, some days I'm like, let's ride at 6 a.m., Tori.
But one of the things I love the most is that you're a community builder like me, and that wherever you go, you are building community, just like our brand new Wednesday ride at the lodge. Like we just started, you got certified in bike leadership. And tell me a little bit more about the Wednesday women's ride.
Yeah, this summer I decided I want to ride bikes more. And I've been committed in coming to the lodge Saturday ride. And I said, how am I going to get out more? And I work still full time. And so I said, well, let's do an evening ride and let's do Wednesdays because it's the middle of the week. And then I was like, who do I want to ride with? I want to ride with maybe Tori, but I want to ride with women. And then I love that Wednesday women's ride. I love that alliteration. And I just...
The wonderful Wednesday women's ride.
Yeah, let's keep going with it. So I proposed it to you. And of course, you are a yes person like me. And so you said, hey, take the bike leader training and just go forward with it. And I'm so glad that there are a community of other female cyclists here in Colorado Springs that want to come along. And we've been doing it almost for 6 weeks. And every week we've persevered through 90 degree plus days, thunderstorms or the threat of thunderstorms, smoky skies and air. But we've had so much fun. I'm so glad we're doing it.
What do you think makes it so special or unique about having a women's only ride?
I think there's something special about when women come together, and you and I can hearken back to how we met was at a women's walking group, a mom's walking group.
Yeah.
And now in my more senior days,
you're not senior.
Well, my kids are.
Because then that would make me senior.
My kids are no longer in baby strollers.
Yes.
And I have so much freedom of my time. But when I come together with women, it's building community about maybe what your work life is like or your personal life or your dreams for the future. And I think that women share more openly when we're together, mm-hmm. and maybe less so when we're in mixed company. So I think there's some special bonding that happens when women come together uniquely. But I think there's also the element of a little bit of gentle competition.
Yes, yes.
And when I'm riding with fellas, and I love fellas, but when I'm riding with the guys, it feels like I have to perform or I have to work harder. I don't want to be judged. And that is all self-talk. Mm-hmm. I've never been made feeling uncomfortable by any male cyclist.
Yeah.
But it's just a social construct that I think that I'm inhibited by, and I think some others. I asked some of our cyclists last evening, why do you come? Was it the night of the week or was it that it was a women's ride? And multiple people said it was because it's a women's ride. And two of them referenced that it was that I like to be on my bike without men because I can enjoy this differently when I'm just with other females.
I like where the conversations can go and we get to share all of our stories, advice, opinions in a way where there's nobody that is around that might not want to hear what we're talking about at the moment.
Exactly.
We won't go into all the menopause or more exciting things, definitely, you know, single dating life. I don't
Exactly. I think there's a lot of fun to be had when you get together and to form friendships.
Mm-hmm.
And it's been great. I've already made some new friends through this cycling thing on Wednesdays. I'm really glad we're doing it.
What I love that you do is that you stay after the bike ride too to visit with the women. And we have a beer at the lodge that mm-hmm. we usually have Wednesday night music going on there. Mm-hmm. And so it's just a fun time and space to just hang out and get to know each other even more off the bike. I'm very impressed by the routes that you've been organizing. There's several different routes that we've taken. They've all been a little bit different each week out of the lodge. You just learned the routes riding with our club, or was that part of the training that you took?
I would say it's a little of everything.
Okay.
I love Jersey Mike, our Saturday ride leader, and he shared some routes with me. And then I do have 20-year experience of riding in this community, so I had some favorite roads and trails. And then, yes, at the bike leader training, I picked up these nifty maps that are printed. I don't know if it's a city's or if it was the TOSC, but there's all these maps of the trails and the bike-friendly streets. And it just helped me confirm, where can we ride? I used to use a tool called Map My Run, and I would figure out where I wanted to run. And now I'm using Ride with GPS or something.
Yep.
And I love to sit there and go, oh, where can I go? And then it gives you the real-time data of the elevation gain and estimated rolling time. And I kind of like the techie tools that are available as well.
So the Wednesday ride is just all summer long until what month?
I think we'll go through September.
Okay.
I've joked with a couple of people that I'm a fair weather cyclist. I don't like to get too cold. So, and we also have to be cognizant of daylight. So while we all have lights on our bikes, I think it's safer if we were to get off the roads and trails by 8 p.m. and we need to watch the light available. Okay.
So 6 p.m. Wednesdays. Are you already thinking you might do it again next year?
Oh, for sure. This little pilot is already successful. So I would love to continue it. And I've joked that I am a morning person. And if there's any brave soul that ever wants to do another weekday ride, I would do one before work because I just love it so much.
Yes. So you make me love mornings more when I go out and get on a bike or on a trail with you. So in this role as the ride leader, I know that when we're riding the trails, we're encountering some issues of homelessness or unhoused people. I know your passion, even before you were the director of Homeward Pikes Peak, for the people on the trails and things like that, and the respect that you give them and how we should view that situation. You even, when we were at a meeting on homelessness with my young son at the time, Daniel, trying to address the issues of homelessness. You took us out on a bike ride with me and my son to see what we saw that made it scary for him to think about riding his bike to school, or that we felt uncomfortable or unsafe on the trails riding together. And you were like, let's get on a bike and go ride and show me what you see. I love how open you are and just how passionate you are, even outside of a job or position, about that. Before we go into your favorite trails and different things like that, let's talk about some of the hard things that people might see on the trails riding in Colorado Springs, because it might be surprising to some and it might be very frustrating to some. I think a lot of people don't really understand how to approach it.
No, I think that's a really great question. And as a social worker, I have training to handle uncomfortable situations and talk and de-escalate people who might be unregulated due to mental health or even through the drugs and alcohol. So I feel pretty safe when I'm outside, and I think that I don't have that same level of concern or discomfort or anger. And so I want to help give people tools so that they can be safe wherever they are. But also, as a community leader, I need to understand the concerns of my fellow citizens so that I can represent our needs at the community at a public policy level. And then I need to bring information back to my organization. So Homeward Pikes Peak provides street outreach, clinical services, and housing, supportive housing for people exiting homelessness. And every time I see a homeless person outside, I see an opportunity to help change someone's life. And I see a person first. And I think that's what I really want to remind our fellow cyclists and recreation community is, yes, it is illegal to camp along a trail and in a city park. And yes, the city has created ordinances that say it is not permissible to sit or lie in a public right-of-way or on a sidewalk or in a park. And these are people that had a right for movement through the community and through city. They are citizens of the United States, and they have civil rights too. And also, they have barriers in their life. Maybe they have economic troubles, and they have lost a job or they've lost a home. So I think that we need to just stop and pause and understand the complexity of homelessness before we start judging about what we're seeing out there.
Would you say that it is safe on the trails? Because we're doing the women's ride, and I know that sometimes I will be going down the bike path and I'll encounter a camp or a situation that makes me divert to another street and stuff. How bad is it as far as a safety issue?
I think that's a really complex question, and one I would probably need to ask the police for data on. I am not hearing many reports of crimes of homeless individuals against recreational users. I think it happens, but I think it's very low. So if you are a trail user and you are worried that you're going to be jumped or accosted, I think the rate of that is very low. As a cyclist for 20 years and a runner, knock on wood, it has never happened to me. And I
And you take the trails.
I take the trails all the time. And the things that I do that I think help make my experience better is that I moderate my speed. I always announce when I'm coming up upon a pedestrian, and that could be the dog walker who lives a block off the trail, or it could be someone who is unhoused. But I always announce that I'm coming, and I always say hello, and I always say have a good day. And I think that's because I want to express that I see you, and you're a fellow human being. And actually, that individual experiencing homelessness, they might be walking down the trail that I'm riding, and they might be saying, God, it's beautiful out here. God, I'm so lucky to live in a place like this. Because that's what I feel when I'm using our trails.
I know, because of you, I greet all the homeless now, and I just say, be well or have a good day. And for a while, I had just with kids, I wanted to be able to feel safe with riding to school on their bikes or just feeling safe myself. I had started to build up some resentment towards that because it was unlawful and things, and I was scared. And you really opened my eyes and taught me to look at the human first and the condition and try and be the bright spot in a day that might be one of the only highs, hellos, how are you doing, that they might get that could lift them out of a dark place.
Yeah,
and
exactly.
Giving them that dignity and the humanity, mm-hmm. It makes all the difference. It is frustrating the glass on the trails. I'm still going to say
sure.
We just...
Oh, for sure. It is. Like last night, we had to remind riders that there was some glass on the trail. But back to the being kind, yeah. And I find that the vast majority of individuals experiencing homelessness say hello back to me.
Yes.
They say, have a nice ride. And I think that is so generous and kind of them.
Actually, what I've been noticing lately that seems pretty exciting is they actually are cheering us on as we ride by.
Yeah.
So they are becoming much more real. And I think that we need to never lose sight of humanity. Mm-hmm. So thank you for that.
Yeah.
So how are you working with Homeward Pikes Peak? And I know you're out there regularly on the trails. What are we doing in the city to try and address some of these issues of homelessness? And what should somebody do if they come on the trail and encounter an unsafe or concerning situation?
Yeah, great question. So there are several organizations that provide street outreach, which means you have trained professionals or volunteers going out into parks and trails to offer support and assistance to people who are experiencing homelessness. So Homeward Pikes Peak has a street outreach team. The Place, which is our youth experiencing homelessness organization. We have Help COS. And interestingly, the city is doing a lot of outreach. So the Parks Department has an Urban Ranger group. The Police Department has the Homeless Outreach Team, and the Fire Department has a Homeless Outreach Program. Homeward Pikes Peak staff ride along with our police officers several days a week, and then we follow up with individual engagement after that. Homeward Pikes Peak is out 6 days a week providing street outreach, and the goal of that is to engage people in a conversation, ask them what kind of help they need, what kind of barriers are they facing, and invite them to use the services that are available. Mm-hmm. So are they going to the Springs Rescue Mission? Have they ever visited the mission? Because at that emergency shelter, you can get health care, you can get mental health care, you can do your laundry, you can take a shower. So it is a great resource in our community. The Salvation Army has a family shelter program for about 30 households. So families who are experiencing homelessness or living in their car could go there. But 30 units of emergency shelter for families is just not enough. Mm-hmm. The Help COS has opened emergency shelters in the winter when the temperatures drop really low for the last couple of years. And that is a upcoming and growing nonprofit. They mm-hmm. hope to raise money to create another permanent emergency shelter in our community. Our city staff and emergency responders are great, but they have limited capacity. So Homeward Pikes Peak created a new tool to help the community respond to homelessness differently. And it's something I'm really excited about.
If only there was an app for that.
Only there was an app for that. And if only there wasn't another cyclist that helped me create this. One of our former RAGBRAI participants, Tony Delalis, is a great friend and entrepreneur and techie. And he created a web-based tool for Homeward Pikes Peak to address homelessness better and differently. For guests listening right now or watching the video, you could submit an observation of something that's related to homelessness on a website called cosoutreach.com. And when you pull up this form, it's going to ask you a couple of questions, and either you can drop a pinpoint on a Google map or you could write it in an address. And this will be sent to my outreach team immediately, and we will triage this information, and then we'll deploy a team to go to that address to find the individual. Now, someone's going to say, oh, the homeless just move around all the time. Like, mm-hmm. why submit this concern? They're going to move along and they're not going to be there. Well, we still say, please submit a concern, describe the individual. Maybe you're going to say the person had on a red t-shirt and had a black backpack. And my team is going to look for that description as well as at the address that you submitted it to be happening at. And then we're going to find that person and say, hey, do you need any help? Can we talk to you? And then we're going to dig deeper and hopefully build a relationship and get that person connected to help. So why did we do this? We did this because our law enforcement is overburdened. We don't have enough police officers. And actually, the data says that we can create change more effectively with a person experiencing homelessness through effective outreach than another law enforcement point of contact. So we want to reduce the calls to 911 because often these are not emergencies. These are, why is this person laying in this park every day? And mm-hmm. we can go respond to that. Of course, if you are seeing something that is an emergency, like an illegal fire or physical violence, please call 911 because my team's not equipped to answer that. But we want to help people who are open to a conversation. Mm-hmm. And my outreach team finds that the vast majority of people experiencing homelessness, they're willing to have a conversation and talk about what their needs are. And they're open to the referrals to get the help that they need.
So looking ahead, what do you think that the city needs to make biking better in our community?
I think there's two answers to that question, and there's a lot of shared needs. So I think cyclists need safer trails, and we need maybe some lighting on some trails or intersections. I think that we need to make sure we cut back the brush and the trees from trails to make sure we have good sight lines and visibility. I would also love more bathrooms or the city bathrooms that we have to be open. Now, if you remember when we were young parents and we took children to parks, the bathrooms were not always open.
Right.
And now as adult cyclists, our bathrooms are not consistently open to use if you have the call of nature. And I know that this is a function of city budget limitations, but if we want a healthy, vibrant community for all members of the community, we need it for the recreationalists, and we actually need bathrooms for people who are unhoused, because I know that some of the concerns of homelessness is the unsanitary nature that they might leave a trail or a park. If you can't go to the bathroom and yet nature calls, what are you going to do? And if you have no money and you have limited resources, you cannot go to your local restaurant or convenience store to use a toilet there, because often they say they're only for customers. So then where are these people left with the need that we all have as humans? So I think our city really needs to address public bathrooms in a different and more robust way.
So the city has challenges with budget for those things. Homeward Pikes Peak is also facing budget challenges with grants and things like that that are not coming your way. What do you need from our community to help support you and the city to be able to make these things happen?
Yeah. If I had a magic wand.
Paint that magic wand.
Yeah. Everybody who's listening would go to homewardpikespeak.org and they would make a contribution for the amazing work that we do with 1,000 people a year to address homelessness and to permanently resolve homelessness for people. But what do we need to do as a city, as a community, and as a nation? We need to invest in solutions that work. So for every person that spends a night in jail or uses emergency services and experiences homelessness, that's a cost of about $55,000 a year. So if we could get $55,000 a year per person that I serve, I would have no budget problems ever. But we really do need to think about how do we create systems in communities that people don't fall into homelessness? How do we have robust economic development and workforce development? How do we have robust healthcare systems and access to behavioral healthcare so that when people have a personal crisis, they can take care of it immediately and not have it compound over years so that they lose jobs and then they lose their housing?
I know that our city is very fortunate to have you in the capacity that you are, but any political aspirations?
Oh my gosh. One of my first internships when I graduated college was a internship with the National Organization for Women. And as a gift, when I left that internship, they gave me a t-shirt that had a picture of the U.S. Capitol, and it was a red, white, and blue t-shirt. And it said, "Woman's place is in the dome," instead of "Woman's place is in the home.
home."
And I tell you, I wore that t-shirt until it became a rag. Like, it was a prized possession for a long time. So, yes, someday I hope to be representing our community in a place where I can help effect change for all people, people who have experienced economic hardships, oppression, but also for people like you who are entrepreneurs and for the vibrant community and friends that I have around Colorado Springs. So you never know. Stay tuned.
So what are, I'm going to go back to biking.
Okay.
So what are your favorite places to ride in our community?
Oh gosh. Last night we were riding through the Garden of the Gods, and that is such a beautiful place. It definitely stimulates your heart and mind for the views, but it definitely gets your heart pumping when you're riding some of those hills. And I love to go fast. I love to go downhill as fast as possible where you're on that little edge of control and fear. So the garden is great for that.
I loved that we had guests from out of town.
Me too.
And that when I get to ride the garden with somebody who hasn't ever done that before and get to experience it through the eyes of somebody who's never been able to bike the garden, it's just, it takes it to a whole nother level because I'm feeling that joy of seeing it for the first time through their eyes. Oh. And we're so lucky to have this right in our backyard.
We sure are. We have a pretty nice infrastructure of trails. Mm-hmm. Certainly, we use the Midland Trail almost every day.
Yes.
But we have a nice infrastructure, but I would love to get to that next level of trail infrastructure. A couple weeks ago, we rode the Cherry Creek Trail that linked Cherry Creek State Park down to Franktown.
Yes, it's so beautiful.
It's such a beautiful trail. And what really struck me is that there are a couple different municipalities along that 30-mile stretch. Mm-hmm. And each municipality has invested in bathrooms, shade structures, picnic tables, and benches along the way. And I would love for Colorado Springs and El Paso County to invest in their recreation infrastructure better so that cyclists, pedestrians, people of all types.
That's brilliant because right now we just have trails. And while I'm very impressed with over 100 miles of paved trail that you can take throughout the city, there's just nowhere to take shade.
Exactly. And we all know that shade's important. If you pull over and change a flat tire or just need a water break, shade is great. So I would love for the city to invest in some more trail infrastructure. But I think that gets to a place where we need to talk to our local citizens around being appropriately taxed for the things that we want. Mm-hmm. When there are ballot issues that support our trails and open space, the TOPS, it usually passes because people want us as a community to acquire more parkland and they want us to maintain it. But when the city needs to increase their budget for long-term maintenance or other kinds of infrastructure investments, there's a real resistance to that. And I think as a citizen of America, as a citizen of Colorado and Colorado Springs, I believe in appropriate taxation for the things that make my community safe and wonderful. I want police and fire to answer a 911 call, and I want trails that use that are safe and take care of all my needs.
That's amazing. That's amazing. Before we go, tell me one more time about the Wednesday ride.
Okay. Wednesday ride, Wednesday, 6 p.m. at the Buffalo Lodge. It's the Wednesday women's ride. So, fellas, I'm sorry, you're really not invited to come, but if you need a ride on a Wednesday, throw on a tutu and maybe we'll let you come and drag.
Or there, or we did have the husband that showed up at our turnaround spot with popsicles and drinks.
Yes.
That was very wonderful, too.
That was really sweet to have a little ride support out there that one night, yes.
Oh, Beth, I have just loved riding bikes with you, walking with you, just exploring the outdoors of Colorado Springs with you over the past 20 years. This truly is an amazing city to live in. We live in a tourist destination. And while we have these issues, everywhere has issues of homelessness. And I would still put our city up against any city when it comes to one of the most bikeable, beautiful cities in the U.S., if not the world. But
yeah, I agree. Thank you for having me today. It's been a pleasure to talk about two of my favorite things, community change and bicycling.
Thank you, Beth. And thank you for joining us on Pedal the Springs. We'll see you on the road and hopefully Wednesdays at 6 p.m. at the Buffalo Lodge Bicycle Resort. Pedal the Springs is brought to you by the Buffalo Lodge Bicycle Resort, the only bicycle-themed lodging and must-stay for cyclists coming to Colorado. Check us out at bicycleresort.com for more information. See the show notes for links we mentioned in this episode, and hit that subscribe button if you haven't already. Also, be sure to check out the other fine podcasts at studio809podcast.com. This is what community sounds like. Pedal the Springs is recorded in the Studio 809 Community Podcast Studio at The Next Us, a professional cooperative environment for small businesses in downtown Colorado Springs.
Hi, I'm Dave Gardner, Chief Podcast Wrangler at Studio 809 Podcasts. We're a collective of podcasters here in the Pikes Peak region committed to having local residents who are better informed and more engaged. You know, most of us volunteer our time. Nobody's really earning any wages working on these podcasts. This is a gift to the community. And one way you can say thank you is to become a patron, providing a little support to help us cover our expenses. You can easily do that by heading over to studio809podcasts.com and clicking on the patron button in the upper right corner. Thanks so much for supporting community.